In Crimea itself, the Russian takeover is working its way into many aspects of life. The new pro-Russian authorities have canceled the Ukrainian civil code, including all property documents. And there are rumors that anyone who refuses to accept a new Russian passport might have their property confiscated. That echoes the deepest fears of Crimea's Muslim minority, the Tatars. NPR's Gregory Warner reports they have experienced that trauma before.
When Bakit Gulkachka first heard the story of the Crimean Tatars, she was living in Kazakhstan, then the Soviet Union. She fell in love with a Tatar guy she'd later marry. At dinner with the guy's parents, his mom told her about how her people were deported from their native Crimea during World War II, when Stalin accused them of collaborating with the Germans. Families were loaded on boxcars and sent in the hot sun and the freezing nights on a month-long journey to the Urals. Thousands died of starvation and disease along the way.
And the most horrible part of the story, like, all the men from the Crimean Tatar families, they were serving for the Soviet army. And those people who were deported, they were actually their family members. And when their husbands, their fathers came back from the service, they couldn't find their families.
This history she learned at her future mother-in-law's kitchen table couldn't be found in any Soviet textbook. And from that moment on, Bakit Gul, then just 18 years old, stopped trusting the Soviet Union. In 1989, the Soviet Union fell, Tatars started returning to Crimea. And now Bakit Gul, with the zeal of a convert, runs a guest house in the Crimean village of Bachisarai, serving Tatar food against Tatar tapestries in rooms built according to an ancient Tatar architecture. Here, over a cup of spiced coffee, she tells me that the distrust that her adopted people feel for Russia has not abated. They boycotted Sunday's referendum vote en masse, and when President Putin announced Tuesday that Crimea would be annexed, Bakit Gul started storing away valuables. Forget the laptops or the cash, she says. She's hiding away what can't be replaced, like a 200-year-old headscarf called a marama, woven with real gold and silver. And then there's this, an ancient-looking mortar and pestle for grinding coffee beans. Now, it might seem odd that people in 2014 could fear the rattle of the cattle car. But Ali Ozabash, a lawyer and Tatar community leader, says cattle cars are not today's methods.
First method they can use is to create conditions so intolerable for life that people emigrate on their own.
He says there's already been incidents of the second method, physical violence. People beaten, property torched. One Tatar man was found dead with signs of torture. These crimes blamed not on Russian troops, but on pro-Russian paramilitaries, so-called Crimean patriots in gangs untouched by police.
Because these marginal elements don't fear punishment, of course they will expand, will kill, will rob people, until the wave of violence is all around us. And Russia does nothing to provide order here. And Ukraine cannot do anything.
President Putin has made specific promises to extend protection to the Tatar minority. Nevertheless, the Tatar leadership is meeting to decide whether to accept Russian passports and work with the new government, or continue their opposition, risk being branded fascists, and possibly have their property taken away, just as Stalin did to them 60 years ago. Bakit Gul, the hotelier, tears up a bit talking about calls for support that she's received from former Western guests in her hotel.
Now we understand that, of course, not. We're not alone. The whole Ukraine is with us, and the whole world is with us. But, you know, almost all my friends here are Russians, and none of these Russian people have called me and have told me that, Bakit Gul, you're not alone. We will not allow somebody to offend you. We will stay all together. No one of the Russians living here have supported us.
At those darker moments, she says she takes her Russian black terrier for a walk along the ancient mountains of her adopted village, Bachisarai. It comforts her to tell herself she'll never leave. Bachisarai is my last love, she says. Gregory Warner, NPR News, Simferopol.